Greetings, and welcome to Audio Stoas 6. This week's reading is comprised of Chapter 6, Book 1 of Epictetus' Discourses, and is entitled On Providence. It is, by comparison with other discourses from Epictetus, a rather long one, so I'll keep the introduction to a minimum. But the idea of providence is an idea that is central to what we would best perhaps call Stoic physics. The Stoics thought that the way the world was constituted was in accordance with reason, with a rational principle, which they also sometimes call alternatively nature, God, or even Zeus. Therefore, that what we attribute as being evil things which happen in this world, or otherwise things that are deficient in regards to our expectations, are to be understood as our own failure to understand how these apparently evil or deficient things or events gain their value and fall back within a positive evaluation if considered in relationship with the greater arrangement of reason, which most of the time we have no epistemic access to. So this general Stoic attitude towards the world becomes for Epictetus the occasion of a diatribe against those who essentially begrudge the world everything that happens to them whenever these things don't fall within their own plans, or whenever something doesn't happen that they, for one reason or another, believe should happen to them. It is one of my favorite discourses of Epictetus. It has its funny moments, as I hope you will see, and therefore I shall immediately proceed to read Chapter 6, Book 1 of the Discourses. Of Providence. From everything which is or happens in the world, it is easy to praise Providence, if a man possesses these two qualities: the faculty of seeing what belongs and happens to all persons and things, and a grateful disposition. If he does not possess these two qualities, one man will not see the use of things which are and which happen. Another will not be thankful for them, even if he does know them. If God had made colors, but had not made the faculty of seeing them, what would have been their use? Not at all. On the other hand, if he had made the faculty of vision, but had not made objects such as to fall under the faculty, what in that case also would have been the use of it? None at all. Well, suppose that he had made both, but had not made light. In that case also, they would have been of no use. Who is it, then, who has fitted this to that and that to this? And who is it that has fitted the knife to the case and the case to the knife? Is it no one? And indeed, from the very structure of things which have attained their completion, we are accustomed to show that the work is certainly the act of some artificer, and that it has not been constructed without a purpose. Thus then each of these things demonstrate the workman, and do not visible things and the faculty of seeing and light demonstrate him. And the existence of male and female, and the desire of each for conjunction, and the power of using the parts which are constructed, do not even these declare the workman? If they do not, let us consider the constitution of our understanding, according to which, when we meet with sensible objects, we simply receive impressions from them, but we also select something from them, and subtract something, and add and compound by means of them these things or those, and, in fact, pass from some to other things, which, in a manner, resemble them. Is not even this sufficient to move some men, and to induce them not to forget the workmen? If not so, let them explain to us what is it that makes each several thing, or how it is possible that things so wonderful and like the contrivances of art should exist by chance and from their own proper motion. What, then, are these things done in us only? Many, indeed, in us only, of which the rational animal had peculiar need. But you will find many come unto us with irrational animals. Do they then understand what is done? By no means. For use is one thing, and understanding is another. God had need of irrational animals to make use of appearances, but of us to understand the use of appearances. It is therefore enough for them to eat and to drink and to sleep and to copulate, and to do all the other things which they severally do. But for us, to whom he has given also the faculty, these things are not sufficient. For unless we act in a proper and orderly manner, and conformably to the nature and constitution of each thing, we shall never attain our true end. For where the constitutions of living beings are different, there also the acts and the ends are different. In those animals, then, whose constitution is adapted only to use, use alone is enough. But in an animal which has also the power of understanding the use, unless there be the due exercise of the understanding, he will never attain his proper end. Well then, God constitutes every animal, one to be eaten, another to serve for agriculture, another to supply cheese, and another for some like use. For which purposes what need is there to understand appearances and to be able to distinguish them? But God has introduced man to be a spectator of God and of his works, and not only a spectator of them, but an interpreter. For this reason, it is shameful for man to begin and to end where irrational animals do, but rather he ought to begin where they begin, and to end where nature ends in us. And nature ends in contemplation and understanding, in a way of life conformable to nature. Take care, then, not to die without having been spectators of these things. But you take a journey to Olympia to see the work of Phidias, and all of you think it a misfortune to die without having seen such things. But when there is no need to take a journey, and where a man is, there he has the works before him, will you not desire to see and understand them? Will you not perceive either what you are, or what you were born for, or what this is for which you have received the faculty of sight? But you may say, there are some things disagreeable and troublesome in life. And are there none in Olympia? Are you not scourged? Are you not pressed by a crowd? Are you not without comfortable means of bathing? Are you not wet when it rains? have you not abundance of noise, clamor, and other disagreeable things? But I suppose that, setting all these things off against the magnificence of the spectacle, you bear and endure. Well then, and have you not received faculties by which you will be able to bear all that happens? Have you not received greatness of soul? Have you not received manliness? Have you not received endurance? And why do I trouble myself about anything that can happen if I possess greatness of soul? What shall distract my mind or disturb me or appear painful? Shall I not use the power for the purposes for which I received it, and shall I grieve and lament over what happens? Yes, but my nose runs. For what purpose, then, slave, have you hands? Is it not that you may wipe your nose? Is it, then, consistent with reason that there should be running of noses in the world? Nay, how much better it is to wipe your nose than to find fault. What do you think that Hercules would have been if there had not been such a lion, and hydra, and stag, and boar, and certain unjust and bestial men, whom Hercules used to drive away and clear out? And what would he have been doing if there had been nothing of the kind? Is it not plain that he would have wrapped himself up and have slept? In the first place, then, he would not have been a Hercules when he was dreaming away all his life in such luxury and care. And even if he had been one, what would have been the use of him? And what the use of his arms, and of the strength of the other parts of his body, and his endurance and noble spirit, if such circumstances and occasions had not roused and exercised him? Well, then, must a man provide for himself such means of exercise, and to introduce a lion from some place into his country, and a boar and a hydra? This would be folly and madness. But as they did exist, and were found, they were useful for showing what Hercules was, and for exercising him. Come, then, do you also, having observed these things, look to the faculties which you have, and when you have looked at them, say, "Bring now, O Zeus, any difficulty that you please, for I have means given to me by you, and powers for honoring myself through the things which happen." You do not so, but you sit still, trembling for fear that some things will happen, and weeping, and lamenting, and groaning for what does happen. And then you blame the gods. For what is the consequence of such meanness of spirit but impiety? And yet God has not only given us these faculties, by which we shall be able to bear everything that happens without being depressed or broken by it, but, like a good king and a true father, he has given us these faculties free from hindrance, subject to no compulsion unimpeded, and has put them entirely in our own power, without even having reserved to himself any power of hindering or impeding. You, who have received these powers free and as your own, use them not. You do not even see what you have received, and from whom. Some of you being blinded to the giver, and not even acknowledging your benefactor, and others, through meanness of spirit, betaking yourselves to fault finding and making charges against God. Yet I will show to you that you have powers and means for greatness of soul and manliness, but what powers you have for finding fault and making accusations, do you show me. This was Odio Stoa 6. Please join us next week when our reading will be from chapter 7 Book 1 of the Discourses, entitled Of the Use of Equivocal Premises, Hypothetical Arguments, and the Like. The translation used for this program is the public domain translation of George Long, which is easily available online. You can reach us on the web at audiostoa.blogsite.org. And on the website, you will also find a link to my translation of the Manual of Epictetus, which I talked about in the first podcast, which is a sort of distilled version of the essence of Epictetus' ethical teaching made by Arrian, which is the same person that compiled the discourses. So if you want to access that, you can go on the website. You can also reach us directly by email at audiostoa@gmail.com.